Hello everybody and welcome to Melina Kay's book club, and once again we've got a new book for you, and this time we all decided to read Lolita by Vladimir Nabokov. And just to give you a background information on the book, Lolita was first published in the 1950s, and our author, it was actually a professor who was already a published author of books that were actually financial failures. But when he wrote Lolita, he was at first apprehensive to publish it because he feared being fired from Cornell, which was an institution where he taught a class on masterpiece of European fiction. But after secretly sending out his manuscripts to different publishers, and with no prevail, it got dismissed and rejected, he decided to send it to France. So he sent one of his best copies to a French published company called the Olympia Press, and they caught wind of it and were thrilled to take on the project. However, the publishing has led it to become a bestseller for its scandal. This disappointed Nabokov because he wanted Lolita to succeed on its literal terms. He said Lolita is a tragedy, the tragic and the obscene exude one another.
I'd just like to add that the main theme of the book is about the main character, Humbert Humbert's feelings as a paedophile, and the main theme of the book is paedophilia and incest and our society, how we
view it today.
Yeah.
I'm good that you've started, Jeanette, because I wanted to actually come to you first, because I wanted to ask you, because this was one of your choice and you chose it.
We all voted on it.
We did, but you
suggested it,
and I just wanted to know why. Where did you hear from it?
I know that it's a well-known book that has been read in schools and is very controversial. A few people had recommended it, so I thought it was something that we could read and discuss.
Okay, yeah, we all did end up voting on it and decided to go for it. I am not going to lie, this was a bit hard for me to get into compared to the first book we did. The first book I was just already grasping all in, everything, but with this I felt that it took a while for me to start getting into, and for me to be intrigued, wanting to know more and read more. And I think it was very slow to get into the really grasp
the literature.
I don't know, how did you guys find it to start off,
Jade?
I didn't find it hard to get into at all. I understood that it was a classic in English literature, so I knew that it would be written very differently from the first book we read. I felt like he dived into the story. I understand that the opening few sentences are very, very, very famous lines in history. And I felt like it was quite beautiful. If I just read it, Lolita, light of my life, fire of my loins.
I love that. I'm not going to.
My sin, my soul, Lolita. The tip of the tongue taking a trip of three steps down the palate to tap at three on the teeth. Lolita. I thought it was beautiful. I looked forward to really delving into Nabokov as a writer. So I didn't find it difficult to get into at all, to be honest. I knew it would be a bit of a challenge because I think that we read a lot of rubbish these days, with social media, even the media, when we look at most of the writing that we're exposed to, even in newspapers and stuff, unless you're reading The Guardian, Financial Times, you're probably reading rubbish. I looked forward to the challenge. I thought it was fine.
What about you, Jeanette? Did you get in it straight away, or?
I'd say that I found it interesting to start with as well, but I did look forward to him telling us more about his story with Lolita.
Yeah,
because that's why I wanted to read the book.
That's like me. I think that's maybe I was a bit impatient, I could admit.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because he was going on into this whole description about other, olden days, how they perceived, you know, marriage with young women and things like that. And I was like, okay, I understand, but I don't want to know. I want to know you, your story, what is your deal and everything. So I think that's why I think I was just impatient. So I just wanted to get, I wanted him to just go straight into it and stuff. But I guess in a way he was giving like a background story or something. And but yeah, so I don't know. And that's what, because obviously we said, well, in terms of the topics, I thought this might have come in line with how kind of paedophiles perceive things or see things. Because obviously in our eyes, anything like going out with somebody that's underage, as in 12, because I think there was a chapter where he gave like a split explanation into ages, what age is okay and what age is not okay and what age is an adult and stuff. In our eyes, I was just thinking, no, you're under 16, you're under 13, you're really young, you're trying to date or somebody that's 18. No, it's not right. But he,
can I bring up the first, my first question then?
Okay, yeah, sure.
Because it relates to that. So I wanted to ask, what shapes our opinion of an acceptable age to give consent? Is it taught or is it innate? I ask this because he does refer in chapter 5 to nymphets, which are the people that he does fancy, being the ages between 9 and 14. So I wanted to just ask the question as to what, because obviously we read this and we were quite disgusted by most of what he said.
Yeah.
What has made us decide what is an acceptable age?
I feel like what disturbed me most and made me know that he was wrong, irrespective of like the age factor, like the actual age that's like on your birth certificate, was when he like described the breasts and the hips of these young girls. And so I don't think it's age so much, because you could be post-pubescent and your breasts can be forming and you could have like hair and you know your armpits and stuff like that, and you could be developing hips and you could be 13 years old. And in some countries, 13 is the age of consent, you know, in some countries, for that reason, because this is when girls are, you know, post-pubescent, arguably. But I think what made it very problematic for me, I didn't think of age, it was that you are looking for girls specifically that have a particular type of body, which is that of a pre-pubescent little girl, child.
Because when it was literally in the early chapters where he had that encounter with the prostitute, and he got disgusted after the next, I think it was their third encounter, he got disgusted with her because she looked more of an adult and not a young girl that he had first seen in the first, when they first met, which I was like, what are you talking about? Like, and that was, that for me, that was just a bit, oh my gosh, like, what is, how is your mindset for you to only feel like you're aroused by young women? Like, and especially when he describes the scene where he's at the park. And then the young girl's touching his leg and he got excited. I'm like, oh my gosh. And you would never think, because in, especially in a setting as a park where parents are so occupied looking out for their kids, and then the kids are just messing about. There's people out there that just, like, you think he, because I think he was sitting there with his book, sitting there, thinking he's minding his own business, but really and truly he's there curving over young kids. And it's a bit really wrong and everything. And going back to your question, I just feel like, in terms of, I understand, because even if you're an adult, you still haven't been properly developed. Not properly developed, but you may not have like big bust or, you know, big hips or anything like that. But I feel, for me personally, it was age. And I feel that you have to be at an age where you're more conscious into, you know, like what you really want. I think at 13 and 12, you don't really know what you really want. and stuff like that. And then to have like a grown man who's 25, who's 30 with you, they can manipulate you. They can manipulate your mind to make you think, because at 12, at 13, we're still at home and we have, well, our parents are looking after us, our parents are directing us, because in a way they are manipulating our way of growth, how we're growing, what we're doing and stuff. And so I believe at that age we're sensitive to information and we can be easily manipulated as kids, and so, and I don't know, as women as well and everything. So I don't know, for me it's like you have to be a certain age.
And so what age is acceptable?
I feel like, because you know, I don't know, maybe 17.
And do you think this is because of the society that you grew up in, that 17's okay?
Probably. I think, yeah.
As you're speaking, I'm thinking this is only because you live in England.
Yeah.
If you were living, like, in rural Ecuador,
yeah,
your experience would be so different. Your experience with men would be so different as well. True. I really don't think you can attach an age to it. And with the body, I just think if you were to cast your mind back, like, these girls that he's speaking about are from like year 5 to like year 7. I can cast my mind back to my body when I was in year 6, and like, I don't want to like be too detailed, but this was like the striking image that I had. But like, your breasts are not even formed, like your stomach is like, you have a pot belly because your chest is not formed, like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Just, yeah, all of these like really childlike
images, yeah,
images. And fair enough, like, there are women that don't have like the biggest breasts and the biggest hips and, you know, the hairiest like legs and like armpits and genitalia, but there is, all of these are features, they're all on a continuum, they're all different, but these are all features of the female body, but the child's body does not have any of those things. That's, and true, that is what was just so striking to me, that was attractive to you. An unformed nipple, essentially, was attractive to you. Like, yeah, that was really striking to me in my mind.
So do you feel like, that's what I was, I wanted to, I don't know, I wanted us to like, go deep into this and to think, just trying to see, like, from a paedophile's point of view, like, do you think most is this is really what drives them? Because I think just 2 days ago I read in the newspapers, the Metro, that a man got arrested because he got caught masturbating whilst watching a video of a young kid and stuff. So it's like, and then obviously from reading that, it's like, what are you seeing from this kid, from this child, that is getting you so aroused to do such an action and everything? Because because him explaining, obviously, in terms of the details, like, because before Lolita came about, there was a girl that he had come into contact with, a young lady,
Annabelle,
and was her
name Annabelle?
Wasn't Lolita's real name Annabelle?
Dolores.
Annabelle. And that was his first nymphets
in the school.
Yeah.
Well, no, they were the same age. It started off in.
Oh, yes, they were the same age.
Okay, yes.
And everything, yeah. So, and the way he explained that love, how he got heartbroken, he wanted to find that. I don't know if obviously from there, that's where it had started, because at a young age, he saw a young body. He saw, and then that was his sense of love. Yeah. He wasn't able to grow from that.
Okay. Yeah,
that's how personally I perceived it, and I was like, is it something that these people go through at a young age, or go through like earlier in life, that affects them to a fact where in their mind they don't grow up? Obviously it's like psychological,
yeah,
but that's how kind of I started to like
but quick question, I did start to make a comparison that some people find. There's this whole sexual attraction of a schoolgirl, isn't there, as well? Like, girls will dress up as a schoolgirl and let the man be a teacher.
Like, Chinese people have this thing.
I mean,
just... cut that one. I mean, it's made generalising.
Sorry, it's true. I'm so sorry. People do that. But it's more common, though, in China, just because there was a documentary.
I think it's a kinky thing, and I just think that, like,
no, like, because... Kinky. Do you know why I'm saying it? Because there was actually a documentary I watched, and it was in... I think Tokyo or a place like that, where they have these like kind of spaces like internet cafes, where young ladies, some of them are actually in school and everything, they go there and everything, And these older men, like in their 40s, 50s, go there just to have conversations with these girls that are dressed in uniform and everything. That's what I was like. I think it's more a thing down there. And I think, and even if, and when in the documentary they were showing like their posters or things, it's all like animations, you know, of, and their animations of young girls in uniforms and everything, like in two pom poms and everything. And this is something where they have like, it's like a, not really a brothel, I'd call it, but because it's like an internet cafe and everything, because they're not really doing anything, but some will try insinuate like, oh, do you want to go somewhere or, and everything like that. And these women are obviously young girls, some are 18 and some are still in school. They're going there to make money because they're getting paid for it. And so that's why I didn't want to generalize, but that's what basically I said.
Yeah, that was
your
process.
Yeah, but that's that kinky thought, where does it come from? Is that a slight, I don't know, I don't want to call it pedophilia, but is it, is there an attraction to young females innate in men? In some men that like this kinky?
I think it's the idea of submission. And power. I think it's the idea of power. I think it's a dangerous idea.
Definitely.
Because I think that inherent in rape is the feeling of power.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And it's quite scary though to think about it, because it's like,
yeah, why is that attractive?
So, yeah. I don't know, because right now we're looking at it from a men's perspective, but there's actually women who also, you know, feel the same. Yeah. I don't know if it's because we're women, we're like, no. But there are, because there are women that are caught doing, who are paedophiles and are caught having, you know,
sexual relations with young,
underage boys,
young guys.
Yeah.
But I definitely, like, when I think about my experiences in the Caribbean, for example, like going on holiday and stuff,
yeah,
it's just a thing, like, it's just a thing, big men, like, wanting to talk to you and wanting to caress you, you know, it's a thing.
So no one thinks much of it, like...
No, it's not that no one thinks much of it. In fact, in that society, yeah, you're right, people probably don't think much of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like in Africa and the Caribbean, it's such a massive thing. Like, big uncles wanting to marry you, touch you, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Have relations.
I don't know, yeah. Because talking about, obviously, in terms of culture and stuff, like, from, obviously, back in Africa...
Yeah.
For example, like some.
Or
like,
even here, guys, because you know he makes historical.
Do you know what? I want to make a point. Sorry, I want you to continue. But what I was going to say is, does it make it that much more disgusting because he romanticizes it so much? Whereas I feel like there's not much thought to it when we look at Afro-Caribbean men. It's just like nice. She's nice.
Yeah.
One touch that. Like that's all it is, kind of thing.
It's the same thing, though, isn't it?
It is.
It is the same thing, but it's so like developed here with like with this European man.
It's true.
Whereas he emphasizes like, that he's
It like goes deep. Whereas with like some stupid Jamaican man, you'll just think he's
can
just,
you just move away.
Yeah, like it just feels more simple.
I also thought maybe it's also in terms of like years and stuff, and you know, being developed, like we're now in like this 21st century and stuff, whereas in the age of like my grandparents and stuff, that was no, because my grandmother got married at 12. My mum's mum got married, and I think, I don't know how old my granddad was, but I don't know, obviously that really don't know the age difference, but she got married around 12, and that was normal and stuff like that. And obviously, and this is like rural, you know, Africa and everything, like the villages and stuff like that. And she was a young woman, like a young girl. Yeah, a little girl, and everything, married, has a husband, and then started making kids and whatnot. And yeah, it was not, but obviously even my, like say my parents now, seeing it from now, they would like, that's not right. Like getting married at,
because society has changed and developed, hasn't it?
Exactly, the mindset has changed. Whereas at that moment, at that time, no one thinks, the parents are saying, you know, you got yourself a husband, this is what you're living for anyway, so why not start now? So I think in terms of like society and our development and our thoughts and stuff, it's changed.
And not trying to make it personal to you, because it did happen back home and stuff.
Yeah.
So does that, would that make your granddad
But we don't know how old he was.
How old he was. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if he was only 14 or I don't think he was so like 20. Okay. Or, like, you know, 30. But that's what I'm saying. And I think going back to that whole age thing, what makes it acceptable?
Yeah.
I think it's obviously that age difference as well.
Yeah.
Because then where is a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old thinking, oh, they're little kids, they're just having a little fun, like, they're just getting to know each other, anything. But where's a 12-year-old and a 30-year-old? You're like, no, this is wrong.
Yeah.
And this is what I was saying about mindsets of, like, an adult and a young kid. And so when it's two young kids, they're developing at the same time, they're at the same place, whereas an adult already knows more. And if a kid doesn't know as much, it still has time to learn. That's why I mentioned it, and that's how I kind of saw it has and everything. But yeah, I don't know. So what was your next point, Jade? What point do you have?
Okay, I wanted to ask, did this book make you question your moral compass? So I'm assuming that we all started this book thinking, like, it's wrong for a man to, like, feel.
Jeanette's laughing. Why are you laughing?
She said assuming.
Okay, I know that you guys started this book with the perception that it's wrong for, like, an older man and a young prepubescent girl to have any kind of relationship.
Yeah.
Did it make you, did the author, I don't even think that the author's intention, I don't believe it, his intention, I don't know what his intention was, but I don't think it was to make you change your mind and agree.
I think it was.
Really?
I think it was.
I actually Googled,
so? Yeah.
I Googled, was Vladimir Nabokov a pervert? But nothing came up, as, like, saying so. So, but yeah.
Yeah, because I was thinking, where did this idea? Because let me just put it out that this is not a, it's not like based on a true story, is it?
No.
No. So, where did this idea of him to write this came from? Because at the time,
is it not based on a true story?
No. No. It sounds. It would. You'd think so, isn't it?
So there wasn't someone that went prison and died before their trial.
As in, like, Humbert is. Is a character. The characters
he created. That's what I was thinking, because at that time, at that moment he wrote this book, like, this was a taboo, like, this whole thing. And if in the 1950s and everything, that's why most publishers rejected it. They didn't want to publish it, and it even had to go to court. And so what made him think to sit down and write such thing? Like, what insinuate? I don't know if it's because obviously things that he taught, because he was a professor, but I wondered that.
Was he a psychologist that analysed people like this, though? I don't remember.
No, he was just a professor, like,
uni professor. So, I can't think. I don't know if it was psychology or literature.
I feel like I read that the Valdemar didn't want this published until Lolita passed away. So something tells me that it's true.
Oh, really?
He didn't want this published until Lolita passed away, and because she passed away at 17 due to childbirth. And you can apparently make correlations with the story and things in the article. Yeah, as in, as to what happened during that time about.
Maybe there was something that he saw or
maybe
he
there
witnessed.
Was parts of the story is the true. I don't know.
Okay, he did study literature. It was.
Yeah, he studied literature.
Maybe you're confusing Nabokov with Humbert not wanting to public, because he was a writer in the book
Humbert was a professor as well.
I don't know, maybe, I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, Humbert Humbert was a professor as well, and there was
and a writer, yeah.
And the first I don't know, the only correlation I have with the dying at childbirth was with his first wife.
Lolita did die too.
That's because that was the only correlation.
Yeah, Lolita does die in childbirth with someone else because she leaves him.
Yeah.
And she does end up getting married and having a child with someone else, and she dies in childbirth. But
Humbert kills Quilty.
Yeah.
So is that why he ends up in prison for killing the person?
Yes, that's what he's in there for murder.
Okay.
He's in there for murder, not for his paedophilia. That's why it's a bit controversial.
He's
But do they end up finding out that he's actually he was a paedophile?
We only know it from the journal.
From the
But he dies before his trial. So
I was going to ask, you know how he started the journal? But the journal, the way he wrote it was like he was writing from memory, because it made him sleep.
He was writing in prison.
I understand, yeah. But he made it up as if he had this journal back at home.
Yes.
But then he, is that what it was?
He had a diary. Wrong? He was keeping a diary whilst he was with Lolita. Mrs. Hayes, yes. Mm. Which he didn't have with him whilst writing this. Yeah.
Yeah, so then when he started writing this, was like he was now rewriting it again. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, guys, did you feel like your moral compass changed as you read, or after having read? Did you feel like, maybe this is...
No. I thought, I'm not gonna lie, when I started, I thought maybe I'd have more of an understanding of why a paedophile may do it, but as I was reading, my morals, nothing changed.
Yeah.
My morals, I was very disgusted.
My morals didn't change, but it's true what you said. I feel, I don't know, it may sound wrong, but I feel like I have a bit, just probably 0.1% or 1% understanding towards paedophiles and paedophilia, like why they see things that way. Like, this is what we had just discussed earlier in terms of like their visions, and they think, and that's what I was like, I'm just someone that looks into things too much. Yeah, but I was just, obviously, as I explained earlier, like, is it something that derived from young age and stuff like that that's led them?
So more so than you're psychoanalyzing it,
so it's not like I don't think this is right at all, yeah. But I'm just obviously trying to see trying to have an understanding, and why to do it. And then that's what, obviously, in terms of that, it led me to, obviously, one of my questions where I said, does therapy really work? Because he did go to therapy at one point and stuff, but he never disclosed these feelings or emotions. And they think, and people always say, oh yeah, you know, when somebody's got this going on, or you know, somebody is psychological, some people, like right now in the 21st century, they won't send them to prison, they'll send them to get psychoanalyzed and things like that, you know.
Well, if they don't commit a crime.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And everything. Exactly. But does it really work? Because he, in the writing, in the book, he was saying that certain things he was just saying just to go along with the psychologist and everything. But the real deep feelings was hidden, and he never, ever revealed it to the psychologist. So how do you know when psychology, like the therapy, is actually working?
In terms of like, did it change my moral compass? No, but I was scared it would, because of the approach that he uses. So a few months ago, I was watching a documentary, and it was about like men that are like trying to protest for their rights to have sexual relations with consenting children that are under the age of consent, so like 13, 12 year olds. And they were following one particular man who didn't mind being documented, and he was very like a bit arrogant. He was like, you know, look at the way he's looking at me, like he wants to be with me, and like making it out like these children are sexual beings and they want me. Whereas Humbert is taking a very different approach, and he's very like
humble,
and he is very aware that he's the powerful, he has the agency in this. They like the kids don't have agency in it, it's him. And he like toys with this whole like, I have a problem, but then on the flip side, I'm like, I'm in love. Do you know what I mean? So I was scared it, but I did, in the end, it didn't make me question my moral compass, but I was a bit apprehensive about that element. In terms of therapy working, I think he's very manipulative, which is like a key trait of a psychopath. So he could actually be a psychopath as well.
It's true.
And I think that it was that manipulation that made him like manipulate his therapist. But yeah,
because he does manipulate many of the characters in the book, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's true. And did you realize the only reason he decided to go to that house, and the one in America,
was Mrs. Hayes,
it was because of the family he was meant to be living with had a little girl and stuff, and that's why. But then when he came there, he realized that it wasn't that family anymore. He got really upset. I was just thinking, like, that's literally manipulation at its best. Like, you're really calculating, like, to do things according to be around young girls or young children, and I think that's scary.
He kind of, if you remember, mentions muck fate as many of the reasons why these things happened. So he puts it down to fate, because then, same way Mrs. Hayes got run over by a car, and then he was able to have Lolita to himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
It makes you question whether the author's whether he has written this to convince us that everything is just falling into his lap, or whether he himself made it happen, we don't know. So even when he does sleep with Lolita, he makes out that she wanted it and she did it. But then the next day or next, she says that she felt like it was rape and that he had done something to her. So it makes you think, was she in love with him? Or was it did he control the scenario? Did he rape her?
Yeah, I felt that as well. I felt like, did she at one point then become convincing in their relationship that it was something and everything? But then once again, I had to come back and learn, but she's only 12.
Yeah, it really does make you question, like, is he, like, can we feel sorry for him? Or can we not? Because he also describes himself as tall, dark and handsome. And then he describes himself as favouring a movie star that Lolita's very fond of.
Yeah.
And it makes you think, okay, Lolita. So, you know. But then there's so many other things that he does. So, for example, like, when Mrs. Hayes dies and then he's with Lolita, and they go, like, on a road trip around America, and he, like, describes these, like, amazing scenes. He describes these amazing, like, amazing scenery in, like, America, and, like, you're thinking, oh my gosh, like, this sounds beautiful, but what he's actually describing is, like, dingy motels. But he manipulates the reader in such a way that you think that, like, he, like, they're, it's passing through, like, beautiful places and stuff. I just think he's highly manipulative. How did you find out that it
was motels?
I actually was watching, I watched this this reviewer, a literature reviewer, and she was talking about it, basically.
Talking about, like, obviously certain things like that, because I think you mentioned earlier as well, there were certain things in the book that you thought it was a certain situation, but then when you read the tell us a bit about notes. That.
So the literature is very difficult to understand, to be honest. So when I did read the
one of the chapters,
it was completely different to what I had thought I'd read in the book.
I understand that, because, like, that's just happened to me now. I've just realised that with you saying it was actually dingy motels, I actually thought it was, like...
But to be fair to you, you would have... It's because of how he described it. It was his literature that it did sound lovely, because that's how he wanted it to be perceived.
Yeah, but then that's my question, because obviously this is written for, like, school kids, isn't it, to do in terms of...
They taught it in schools, but I don't know if he wrote it for that.
No, in terms of teaching it to kids in school... Do you think they would have understood it more? Because obviously we're adults at this point.
Teachers would have gone into the details with them, I think.
Oh, that's true,
It's not even allowed to be taught in schools anymore, is it?
Really?
No.
When I think back to English GCSE and stuff, I think our teachers really, like, spoon-fed us when it came to, like, literature.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I think it made us, like... It kind of closed off our minds in many ways, so that now as adults, when we read these classics and these, like, more mature texts, we struggle because we were spoon-fed mature texts when we were in school and stuff. That's even true. Poetry, like, with the anthology, like,
annotated it together.
Was such, like, a group thing, and we had, like, handouts all the time and stuff, which is irritating,
it's true. I guess in that way, it kind of puts us in a box so that we don't derive in certain areas we're not meant to enter or go into certain things. But yeah, but did you guys enjoy it in the end? Did you enjoy it? I enjoyed it. I think it was a really interesting book. If, like, I actually have to say thank you, Jeanette, for this, because if you never put it through, it's not something I would go out, if I even had to go out, I buy books, innit? But if I had to go out and buy a book, it would never come across, I would never pick it up and everything. Even when I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, Penguin Publishing, this is what we used to read at school. Like, do you know, it brings that memory and it's only books I would have read at school and everything. So, actually, it was nice to read something that's out of my comfort zone.
It was out of my comfort zone. I think stylistically, it was beautifully written. Nabokov is a very talented author, I must say. the like the use of prose and stuff, like, yeah,
it's surprising,
beautifully written.
He failed on a lot before he got this
but then I guess it's because it's so controversial, that's the only reason why people paid attention. But yeah, I think it was beautifully written. I felt like, okay, Jade, like, yeah, you get this kind of thing. And yeah, I'm really happy that you chose a classic as well, because I don't think that we have a lot of contact with classics in day-to-day literature anymore.
I think for me it stopped when we were at school, so yeah, we need to bring this back. So yeah, I'm glad we're bringing it back to the book club. Did you like it?
You enjoyed it?
Right, so yeah, that's it, guys. Melina K's book club with Jade and Jeanette, and I hope you join me and Jade again next month for a new